Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Action Network Podcast, the number one show for the invested sports fan.
Without further ado,
that's what the game's all about.
All of a sudden, you feel like you can't miss.
I'm gonna just leave it up there.
You couldn't make that if you tried that again.
Absolutely not.
Spread the floor. Let's go.
Welcome to the Action Network Podcast. This is our very special Christmas Day NBA betting edition. I'm Matt Moore, senior NBA writer for the Action Network. Joining me, Justin Fan, the man, the myth, the legend. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Excited to get into the slate of games. Nothing better than ignoring your family and betting on basketball during the holidays.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to be going to a game for the first time. Denver's hosting a Christmas Day game versus the Pelicans that no one's going to watch, and I'll be very excited to be one of the few people actually watching that game. Reminder before we get started, the Action Network Podcast will be coming down your chimney with three more episodes this week. Our NFL Fantasy Flex, the NFL Week 17 Betting Preview, which I listen to every single week, and the College Football Bowl Preview Part 3 episodes. They'll all be out before Friday. They're going to get caught up after the holiday, so be sure to keep listening, and happy holidays from all of us here at Action Network. So let's go ahead and get started with this slate for Christmas. You know, not as good of a slate, I think, as maybe we would have hoped to start the year. There's been injuries. There's been teams that have obviously kind of fallen off that aren't as good. The Zion Williamson injury, I think, is a big part of this. The Steph Curry injury is maybe an even bigger part of this. Let's start with Celtics or Raptors. The Raptors are banged up. They've got a number of injuries on that team, but they have covered the last two games without all those guys. Marcus Gasol's out. Norman Powell's out. Pascal Siakam's got a groin injury. Stanley Johnson's got a groin injury. Matt Thomas, the legend of Alex Wong up there for Yahoo, is out. Marcus Smart's going to be out in this game. Gordon Hayward is probable. I just saw a tweet from Tim Bontemps talking about how the cortisone shot for him has worked, and he's probably going to play. You know, Vincent Poirier is injured. He's out. Robert Williams has got a hip. He's out. Taco Fall has got a knee. He's out. Two banged up squads. This opened at Celtics -2.5. It's now moved all the way to 3. The Celtics are 3-point favorites on the road. The over the total's 213 currently as we're recording this after opening at 213.5. Justin, what are your kind of thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I've already bet the Celtics at 2.5. And you look at this Raptors team without all those guys, Siakam, Marcus Gasol, Norman Powell, they've really been an average team in those three games since. They're 14th in offensive efficiency, 16th in defense. And you got Fred VanVleet too. He's still not 100%. Like he's been recovering from that knee injury three games since. He's shot 33% from the field, 3-for-19 from three. So they're really a banged up squad. They're facing a Celtics side that's getting Gordon Hayward back. That's been really, really solid throughout the season. They're top six in offense and defense. And this Raptors team, I mean, they were already kind of thin before, and their bench is just extremely problematic. I mean, their bench right now is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Terrence Davis, Chris Boucher, Malcolm Miller, and the corpse of Stanley Johnson. So, I mean, the Raptors are also playing their third game in 4 days on Christmas, and they're coming off an overtime game. So for me, this is a spot where I'm pretty optimistic about the Celtics, just given the state of the Raptors, the injuries and the schedule kind of going against them.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away on this one. I don't like it. I don't like division games in which one team is like got an injury advantage. It just seems like a setup for a letdown spot, even on Christmas. It's a road game. Stevens, for his career, is 10-14 against the spread versus the Raptors. He's 5-4-1 as a favorite. That's not a big enough differential for me to feel good about that. I want to wait and see, you know, what the actual injury statuses look like, because sometimes the Raptors are a little bit tricky with some of those guys. Fred VanVleet's obviously a big deal, but Kyle Lowry's been carrying them. They do have – all the guys are really well coached in the system. That makes me a little bit nervous. I understand leaning towards the Celtics. I kind of lean a little bit in that direction based off of the Celtics are seventh in jump shot field goal percentage off of the dribble. The reason I like that number is if you're going to face a team on the road, you want to be able to hit shots. And I think a team that's more consistent in that area, like Boston is, like Boston's a jump shooting team. And so I feel a little bit more confident about that. I still don't really understand how the Celtics are this good defensively. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But like you mentioned, with all the injuries, it's likely that they're going to be able to go ahead and hold it down. I mean, you know, they should be able to. There's no real disadvantage there, because it's not like Gasol is any sort of like big scoring punch anyway. So it doesn't take anything off that he's not there. But this all the Raptors just also don't have any sort of interior scoring weapons, really. So I lean towards staying away. I do kind of like the over at 213.5. I just feel like there's a good chance that this one, because that number's, that's the lowest total on the board for Christmas. And while I get that they're injured, I think when guys are injured, they're more likely to play. When they're down, guys are more likely to play up tempo, try and get the offense going. I think defense is actually what suffers there. So I kind of like the over in that spot.
Yeah, I think without Siakam, especially, the Raptors defense becomes a lot more vulnerable. So I think I agree with you on that call.
All right, Bucks Sixers, which is the sneaky good game of the day. Eastern Conference title favorites, obviously. This opened as Bucks -2.5. It's still Bucks 2.5. It did open at FanDuel and DraftKings as Sixers -1, which was just laughable. Like, I will say, though, like, if we factor in home court, depending on how many points you want to switch around for home court, that means that the Bucks would be favored by a pretty healthy amount in Milwaukee. And I get how good they are, but then I'm like, that's probably too much. This is a hard game, I think, to cap, like, just to try and figure out. The Sixers are inconsistent and they're not as good as Milwaukee, but they are at home where they've been great. And the Sixers do have the talent to go out there. Like, we've seen them in some impressive victories and we've seen them just lay complete eggs. Total here is 221. I like Milwaukee just based off of, look, they went 2-1 versus them last year in the regular season meeting. I don't think Horford helps them at all in this matchup, because Horford's not good in drop coverage. The Sixers don't bomb threes, and those are the teams that I worry about versus Milwaukee, the teams that are going to be able to hit all the threes that Milwaukee gives up. The Sixers are a low three-point rate team, comparatively speaking. So I like Milwaukee here, and I like the under. I don't have a lot of faith that Milwaukee, even at a high pace, Philly's good enough, I think, to keep the number below, you know, anything outlandish. I think Milwaukee's defense will be able to handle things. Like, the Bucks won points in the paint in all three matchups last season. So I lean towards Bucks here and the under. What do you think?
Yeah, I already grabbed the Bucks myself, and you mentioned a lot of the matchup things I like in this spot. Their Bucks defense are priorities to pack the paint and protect the rim. They lead the league in not only defending the restricted area, but preventing shots there. And the Sixers just lost their best three-point shooter this season in Matisse Thybulle. So their starting unit has been really rough in terms of three-point shooting. Their best three-point shooters this season have been off their bench, like James Ennis, Helen Neto. They've kind of overperformed. But the three-point shooting remains a pretty big concern in this spot against this Bucks team that really forces you and funnels shot attempts in that direction. And I can already see the Sixers offense really struggling and stalling in crunch time. I mean, I can see it playing out already when the Bucks start sagging off Ben Simmons in the half court, force him to beat them. He's really tentative. He's forcing things. Turnovers come. And for me, the Sixers offense just remains a pretty big concern, the way they've looked. They've lost three straight earlier, you know, last week, because Brett Brown couldn't solve his own defense. And now they're facing the best defense in the league. So I'm pretty optimistic on the Bucks here. I like them quite a bit. And they've been, you know, they've shown consistently they're able to control the paint. And if you sort of neutralize Joel Embiid, make Ben Simmons and their perimeter players beat you, then you're just in really good shape.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to grab the Bucks as soon as we get off this call, because 61% of the tickets are on the Bucks, but 76% of the money. So the sharps are already coming in on Milwaukee. They're also coming in on Boston, by the way. They're liking the road teams in a lot of these matchups. Bledsoe, I don't think, hurts them as much in this one, just because of Bledsoe has had really inconsistent games versus the Sixers. He just hasn't really shown out. The bench, I mentioned, I feel pretty confident Milwaukee is going to do that. That's my only concern really with the over, is I'm worried about the bench, put it like DiVincenzo just going nuts and putting up a big number. That's my concern for the over. Let's talk Rockets Warriors. I hate this game. This game sucks. This game should, it's unfortunate that Curry's not playing because there's no real reason to watch it, and it sucks. The Rockets are 11-point favorites. The over-under is 226.5. That's down from 227 at open. The Rockets are already up a full point, and that's with not a lot of bets coming in. At open at 10, it's already 11. 71% of the tickets are on Houston, 96% of the money. I don't have a real strong feel either way here. Golden State's been good against the spread recently. They've been pesky. Houston seems to always, every time that things are going well, and they've been going well for Houston, they seem to kind of face plant and hurt themselves. I don't want to trust Houston laying double digits on the road at Chase Center. I don't want to trust whatever's left of Golden State. If I had to take a lean, I'm probably taking the Rockets. I'm probably taking the Rockets and the over, but I just genuinely like loathe this matchup and don't want to bet it or watch it. Your thoughts?
I could not agree more. This is a game I'm probably going to stay away from completely. I think if there's a side I'm going to come in on, it's the Rockets, and I probably want the discount and take the first half. I don't trust the full game. I think, like you mentioned, the Warriors are a little pesky. They might make it a game. They might backdoor cover late. You know, the Rockets have been known to blow some leads. I've witnessed that firsthand. So, yeah, I this is a game I don't really have too big a lean on. I mean, the Rockets have been playing really, really well lately, though. So, I mean, they're arguably playing their best basketball this season. That the Clippers comeback was extremely impressive, and Russ has been, you know, his shooting efficiency has been much better as of late. And, you know, Russ and Harden together, I just don't see how this 23rd ranked Warriors defense has any shot at defending them.
Let's go to the actual good game on the slate. Clippers and Lakers. Fascinating line movement here. Like, while we're talking, this thing is the blinking on my screen over at Sports Insights, which you can find if you subscribe to the Action Network Valley of products, I'll call it. The over-under is 223. This opened with Clippers -1.5. It's already moved to Lakers -2.5. Apparently, the word's out that LeBron's going to play and AD is going to be in this one. I can't imagine with either of them out, the Clippers wouldn't be favored.
That's been confirmed by Woj, yeah, that they're expected to play. So that triggered all that line movement.
Yeah, so I apologize. I was playing slapjack with my kids while Woj was dropping bombs. The over-under is 223 here. I think especially if you're getting the Clippers as dogs, I like the Clippers in this spot. I don't have a lot of confidence in, like, the Lakers have to prove. I bet the Lakers in the first matchup and they posted up Anthony Davis 16 times. But really, my issue here is mostly it's the math problem. The Clippers don't take a high amount of threes, but they take enough. They take enough threes, and the Lakers take so few that they're always trying to do all of this. Like, they're trying to catch up ground mathematically, trading threes for twos in a department where that really kind of winds up impacting things. I feel like here's a stat I found through Bet Labs. The under's 5-2 this season when the Lakers face teams with a defensive rating below 102.5 in our system, and the Clippers qualify under that in our Bet Labs system. So, like, it's a home game for both teams, right? There's no like real disadvantage there with travel. The Lakers had such a bad game plan in the first matchup. I can't imagine they're going to post AD that much. But as much as I don't necessarily think highly of the Clippers' rim protectors and Montrezl Harrell and Zubac, the numbers continue to say that they're very good. Now, they give up some stuff on cuts. Like, the Lakers are going to get cut points. JaVale's going to duck in on some stuff and score some buckets there. But what the Clippers really give up with their drop scheme is they give up jumpers off of the pick and roll. And that's not what LeBron wants to do. Now, he can get ahead of steam, get into the rim and draw fouls on Zubac and Harrell and cause problems, but you can survive a big day with LeBron going to the rim. It takes some of his energy away, et cetera. I think my favorite bet here, though, is probably the Lakers or probably the under. I feel like the Lakers have the length to disrupt what the Clippers want to do on the perimeter, even though like Kawhi is going to do his thing, Paul George is going to do his thing. But I don't feel like – I'm not worried about the over-hitting if those guys are having to score 100 points combined, right? Like, I just feel like anytime it's like those guys can do whatever, okay, but you're going to have issues getting the whole team going. I feel like the Lakers' interior defense will be good enough to kind of contain Montrezl Harrell on the roll. And meanwhile, the Lakers' offense, when it struggles, it really struggles. And the Clippers have the length to disrupt things and can make some plays inside and force some turnovers. So I like the under here, I think, the best. Do you have feelings or leans on this game?
I agree with you on the under, and your analysis is pretty spot on. And I kind of worry that LeBron and Brow aren't exactly fully 100% either. That kind of affects their offense, obviously, as well. So I actually bought the Clippers ready on the buyback. I was kind of waiting for the market to overreact a little bit to the LeBron and AD expected to play news, and it did. It moved, obviously, 4 points. I think that's just way too much, given I already kind of expected those guys to play. I never really thought there was really any real risk of either sitting at Smith. So, I like the buyback on that if you can get the Clippers at +2.5. For me, the most important thing, one of the most important things I'm looking at this game is how liberal Doc Rivers is going to be with Kawhi's minutes limit. If Kawhi can go 35 minutes in this one, I really like the Clippers because they've just been a dramatically better team with him on the court. They're 13.7 points per 100 possessions worse when he's on the bench. One of the biggest disparities that we've seen when Kawhi's been on the bench is their defensive rebounding. It drops from the league's best mark when he's on the court to the league's worst mark when he's off the floor. And when you kind of look at his substitution pattern, when he comes out, it's usually midway through the first quarter. He'll come back at midway through the second quarter. The Lakers' second unit, it doesn't really punish teams on the offensive glass, and given that's been the kind of the Clippers' biggest issue when Kawhi's been off the floor, it makes me like the Clippers even more. So I'm on the Clippers in this one in the buyback, and I like the under.
Last game of the slate, I'll be at this one. The Pelicans are on the road versus the Nuggets. Pelicans been a little frisky lately. The Nuggets are 9.5-point favorites. It opened at 10. It's down to 9.5, signaling some sort of sharp movement there. But I would expect this to probably go tick back up. I think eventually there will be some money put on the Nuggets that pushes it back up to double digits. Even at 9.5, though, you're getting approximate value. The over-under is 219.5. I like the over, I think, in this one. I think the Nuggets offense has kind of been going a little bit more lately. And with the Pelicans having just the worst perimeter contain of any team in the league, I feel like there's a good opportunity to get in on when the over under is like it's below 220, it's 219.5. So I'm able to get basically an idea of like I think the Nuggets could wind up dropping 125, 128 in this game. And so then it doesn't really matter what the Pelicans do because at their pace, they're probably going to score over 100 anyway. So I feel pretty good about the over on this one more than the spread. The under is 10-6 in Nuggets home games this season, but that was in large part thanks to the Nuggets offense early in the season. The Pelicans are bottom five in points allowed off of turnovers, and the over on those teams on the road this season has gone 40-35-1 via BetLabs. So I checked that stat out. Here's the other one. Denver's 8-6 against the spread at home the last two seasons versus teams with a 40% win rate or under. So not stellar. They already lost the Pelicans once this season. I think they win this game. Like I love them if you want to do a parlay on a bunch of these teams. I love the Nuggets in this spot to win, but I'm also scarred because I took them -9.5 versus the Wolves the other night, and Jalen Noel, who I had to learn about the other night, backdoor covered me with a score at 22 seconds remaining and ruined what would have been a 4-1 evening for me. So I was pretty annoyed there. They're 10-6 at home versus teams against the spread with teams with a 110 defensive rating or worse. So there are signals here that the Nuggets should handle this, but with the Pelicans playing like a little bit better, I think Okafor matches. I looked at some of the numbers. Okafor matches up pretty well with Jokic. Jokic hasn't scored over 20 points versus Okafor in their four meetings. He's a big body that just kind of will slug with him. I think the Nuggets win, but I don't feel great. I think they'll get up for this game, but I do worry about a backdoor cover here, so I'm going to stay away from the spread. I like the over quite a bit, though.
Who do you think the Pelicans' Jalen Noel is the backdoor cover this game?
Oh God! It's Lonzo Ball. That's what it'll be because of my history with Lonzo and how much I've pointed out how much his defensive rating is terrible and how bad he is.
He's gonna pull up from like 30 and drain a three. That's a backdoor cover. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's what it'll be. It'll be a pull up 3-pointer, Lonzo Ball in transition as Lakers fans tweet Lonzo as they're down by 11 before he shoots that and they just cover. So yeah, I'm going to stay away from that one. It really sucks that Zion's not in this game. It'd be a really fascinating matchup if so. But yeah, I just don't like the spread that's too high. And I do like the over. Do you have a lean here?
I kind of was looking at the under initially, probably stay away from it overall. Coming into the season, this Pelicans team, we were talking about them maybe challenging for the league record in pace. Obviously, that went to hell when Zion got injured. But they've slowed down like recently. They're 18th in pace for the last five, ninth in pace over the last 10, and their defense has improved quite a bit. I mean, they're fourth in defensive rating over the last five games. There aren't like a huge defensive sieve anymore like they were kind of in the early stretch of the season. So I've been encouraged kind of by how how the Pelicans have looked lately, playing slower, playing better defense. And this Nuggets team is still dead last in pace on the season. So you're right. You're totally right, though. The Nuggets offense has looked a lot better lately. They've been just dominant on the offensive glass, which has led to a lot of their success. But to be fair, like two of the last three games, they played a Wolves team without Kat, a Lakers team without LeBron. So I don't know how much really to put into that. Those games and that sample. So it's probably a stay away from me, stay away game for me from both ends of this. I'm rooting for that backdoor cover. It's coming. I can feel it.
Are there three teams that you would want to take? I know this is not your jam. I'm doing this basically. I'm cribbing this from Raybon and Stucky on their podcast on the NFL pod. If we were going to put together a three team parlay for tomorrow, what would you want to do? Just with the money lines.
I mean, Rockets, Nuggets, and Bucks.
Not bad. I like that. Rockets, Nuggets, and Bucks seems solid. Stay away from Celtics, Raptors, and Clippers, Lakers. I like that. That's pretty good on the spot.
That's obviously pretty chalky because those are the three biggest spreads. But I do feel pretty good about the Bucks in their spot, better than I do about the Celtics and better than I do about the Clippers or the Lakers.
All right, well, that's gonna wrap it up for this edition for the Christmas episode. You can check out all of our content at Action Network. We've got a bunch of stuff up. Wob wrote a bunch of stuff. I wrote about the Bucks and how they're the best team going into Christmas and how the Clippers and Lakers we shouldn't crown they ass yet. We've got betting guides on all five games with all this detailed info and more. A reminder. The podcast will be coming down your chimney with three more episodes this week, the NFL Fantasy Flex, the Week 17 betting preview for the NFL, and the College Football Bowl preview part 3. Make sure to check out all those in your feed. Thanks for subscribing. Make sure to rate, review, leave us 5-star reviews, and we will be back after football season with more episodes from the NBA section on this, the Action Network podcast.
The flame that we kindled hasn't dwindled at all. It just keeps burning, burning, burning. It won't cool off. Your smile is a goal that leads it. Your kiss is a coal that feeds it. And keeps me yearning, yearning. It won't cool off.